Today's show in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Bava Metzia. We're picking up at the very bottom of Nun Vov Omid Aleph, so we're really going to do Nun Vov Omid Beis today, and Mirtz Hashem, most of Nun Zayin. We are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Fei Rothstein, Feiga Bas Yaakov. We continue to learn for the safety and security of all of Tzahal, of all of Klai Yisrael, for the Chatufim, and Be'ezus Hashem, there should be Shalom on all of Klai Yisrael. Okay, we pick up on the Mishnah, the bottom, four or five lines in the bottom of Nun Vov Omid Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Elu Dvarim She'en Lehem Onah, the following types of sales do not have the dinim of Onah that we talked about. We'll explain in the Gemara, what does this mean? That means that there's no dinim of Onah, period, or that the dinim of Onah, the rules, the categories don't apply, but there is still a concept of Mekach Batel, or you have to return the Onah no matter what. We'll discuss this in the Gemara. But right now, the Mishnah is just telling us the following four types of sales that could occur do not have Onah associated with them. These are, number one, Ho'avadim, if you sell an Eved Kenani, or a Shivcho Kenanis. If you sell Hashtaros, if you sell documents. Documents do not go by the rules of Onah, as the Gemara will explain. This is all based upon Psukim. The third category is Vahakarkos, if you sell real estate, if you sell land. So the Dinim of Onah don't apply there. And finally, Vahakdeshos, if Hekdesh is involved in a sale, one way or the other, either the buyer or the seller, so then Hekdesh also doesn't have the Dinim of Onah. This is all based upon Psukim, as we'll see when we get to the Gemara. In addition to not having the Dinim of Onah, these four categories of items that are being sold, Ein Lehem Teshlum Kefel, if they are stolen and the normal rules of Geneva are if you steal something, you're a ganav, and you steal something and you're caught, so then you have to be kefel. So in all of these things as well, avodim, shtoros, karkos, and hekdeshos, we don't have the din of tashlume kefel. There is no penalty that you pay an extra keren, that you pay a second keren, and that you pay tashlume kefel. Likewise, below tashlume arbo v'chamisha, there isn't a din of dalad hay. Now, Rashi points out that this can't go on the eved, shtoros, and the karka, because the dinim of Shchita or Mechira, Tvicha Mechira, that you stole something and then you either sold it or you shechted it, can only apply to the cows, the goats, and the sheep families. So therefore, this can only apply to Hekdesh. If you stole this item from Hekdesh, there's a potential that you would have thought to be Dalet V'hei if you then sold or shechted the animal that you stole from Hekdesh. So the Mishnah is telling us that even though physically you could have the din of Tvicha Mechira, there is no din of Dalet V'hei, Tashlumei Arba V'chamisha in this scenario. Then the Mishnah tells us, a shomer chinam einu nishba. In all of these situations, a shomer chinam, normally if he is charged to watch something and he claims he wasn't negligent and it was stolen, it was lost, so then he would swear and he would be potter. In these situations, there is no din of a shomer chinam making a shvur, shomer chinam einu nishba. And likewise, venose socher and a shomer socher, he also doesn't pay in these situations, and the Gemara will discuss why this is so. Then we bring down the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer returned to Nimbov Omid Beis. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kotshim Shehu Chayav Biach Riusun Yeshlam Onah. If it's a type of Kotshim for which you are responsible for it, Rashi reminds us and explains to us in the top Rashi. For example, the person says, Hare Olai Ola. He accepts upon himself an obligation to bring a carbon Ola. And then he goes and designates a specific animal to be that carbon ola, vifrisha. And then something happened to that carbon, for example, vihumimah. It got a blemish, it got a mum, and therefore, umachra, he was able to deconsecrate it and sell it. So in this situation, where he is going to have to go and bring a new carbon in its place, so therefore, this is now as if he's a private person selling this animal that became blemished. And therefore, yesh lehen onah, as Rashi points out, the kivon, the im mesa o nignava, if this animal were to have been lost, or this animal were to have died, so then it's stolen, or it died, so then chayav biachriyusa, he has to bring another animal in his place, because he said, I accept upon myself the obligation, hare olai ola, and therefore, even if this animal gets lost, stolen, anything happens to it, he still has to bring another one in its place. So this is called Yesh Chiyav Biachriyusan, that he has an obligation to go and replace the one that he designated, because he didn't say this is the carbon. He says, I accept upon myself a carbon. Hare Olai Ola. And therefore, since he has an obligation to bring another one, if something happens to this one, so it's considered Didehi. It's as if it's his and not Hekdesh's. And therefore, the principle of Yal Tonu, Ish Es Ochiv, the principles of Onah, one person to another person, do apply over here, Karinam Bay. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon tells us that if it's a type of kachim that he said, Hare Olai Ola, he's taking a personal obligation upon himself. So even though he designated an animal, if something happens to that animal, he would have to go bring another one in his place. So therefore, if he goes and sells this animal, the dinim of Onah do apply. It's like a private person selling it where the dinim of Onah apply, and not like Hekdish, which the dinim of Onah don't apply. However, Rabbi Shimon says, if it is the type of animal, v'she'eino chayav b'yachriusin, then ein lohen Onah. If it's a type of animal, as Rashi tells us again, kigon do'omar harei zu, he says, here, Bessie, this cow, I'm designating you to be a carbon ola. In that situation, if something happens to Bessie, he's not chayav to bring a replacement animal. He doesn't have a chrayus because he said Bessie will be the carbon ola. If something happens to Bessie, so then, in that situation, he has no obligation to bring another one. Since he has no obligation to bring another one, so this really belongs to Hekdesh. Hare zu ola, it belongs to Hekdesh. And therefore, if something happens to it, gets a mum, and he sells it, so then there are no dinim of Onah. Ein lohen Onah. That's Rabbi Shimon's additional commentary on the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, so too, just like with these four things that you mentioned, that they don't have Onah, Af HaMocher Sefer Torah, Rabbi Yehuda adds to those four things, and he says, if you sell a Sefer Torah, or you sell a behema, an animal, or you sell a margolis, or you sell a precious jewel, so then, in these situations, also, Ein Lohem Onah. There is no din of Onah as well, and the Gemara will have to explain why he adds on these three categories, what's unique or special about them, that there shouldn't be Onah, and Amru lo, the Chachamim said back to him, lo amru elo eselu. No, only the four that were mentioned in the Mishnah, the Avadim, Shtaros, Karkos, and Hekdeshos, they have no Onah, but the Sefer Torah, the Behema, and the Margolias do have Onah, and we'll discuss this further when we get to the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara now starts off and asks, how do you know that those four categories of things do not have Onah? Minani mili, where do you get this from? So Gemara says the Tanur Rabbanan, because we learned in the following Braisa, the pasuk that we've gone over many, many times, the Chi Simkiru Mimkor Lamisecha, when you go and sell something to your Amisecha, to your friend, or alternatively, Kano Miyadamisecha, or you purchase it. So remember we said previously, this is Echel Halokech V'Echel Mocher. So this teaches us that when you're dealing with people, friends, one to the other, that you're selling something that the Dinim of Onah apply, Lo Sonu. So then, Dover HaNiknem Miyad Liyad, but here we're focusing now on the word O Kano Miyad Amisech. It has to be something that actually can be placed in his hand. So Dover HaNikne Miyad Liyad. The Gemara is telling us that this means it has to be something that is metaltali. It can be transferred from A to B in the hand. Miyad Liyad. So this type of a sale, that can have a din of Onah. As opposed to Yatsu Karkos, as opposed to real estate, Karka, She'ena Metaltali. Karka is not metaltali. It's non-movable property, and therefore it's not included in this din of Okono Miyad Amisecha. You don't directly pass the karka by hand. A chair you can sell, that would have a din of Onah. You're passing it from your hand to his hand, but the karka figuratively goes from your hand to his hand, but not literally. And here it has to be literally, which the Gemara will question. How do you know it has to be literally in a moment? So Miyad comes to exclude karka. And likewise, Yatsu Avadim, it comes to exclude Avadim, which technically could be transferred over from hand to hand. Nevertheless, Avadim are compared, Shehukshu LeKarkos. In the Psukim, as Rashi brings down, V'snachaltem Osam Livnechem Achareichem, so therefore, it says that the Avadim have the status of being like a Nachala, and therefore, this comparison, or this hekesh between Karka and Avadim teaches us that just like Karka is not involved in the din of Onah because it's not Miyad, so too Avadim are Hukshol LeKarkos and are not included in the din of Onah. Likewise, Yatsu Shtaros, because the pasuk says, Dechsiv V'chi Simkiru Mimkar. So it has to be something that the item itself is being sold. Shegufo Mahor, the item itself is being sold. V'gufo Karnoi, and itself has the potential to be purchased, as opposed to a shtar. It's not the document that's really being sold, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment. If, in fact, it's a document that you're actually selling for the piece of paper that it's written on, the Mefarshim bring down, for example, let's say a shtar was paid up, and instead of ripping it up, well, you do rip it up, you say, now we're going to use it as a bottle cap, and you sell the actual piece of paper, not what's written inside. You're not conveying over the IOU to somebody else. If you're actually selling the piece of paper, then there would be a dinim of onah. But here, you're selling not the piece of paper, you're selling the content, you're selling the IOU. Reuven is selling, well, Reuven says, Shimon owes me $100, but I'll sell it to you, lady, for $75. I'll take the cash right now, and you can get it a year from now at $100. So you're selling the content. So then, that's not included in the pasuk, v'kisimkeru memkar. It has to be gufo machur v'gufo konri. The item itself has to be sold or purchased. Yatsu shtaris, this comes to exclude a shtar. Shein gufo mocher, the piece of paper isn't what you're selling, it's the content of what that IOU represents. And therefore, in the shtar, ein gufo mocher, ein gufo kani, and therefore it's excluded from the dinim of onah. And the ein an omdim, el l'rayish b'em, that document is just to be a raya, a proof, evidence for what is the deal between, let's say, Reuven and Shimon. And therefore, based upon this, if you're using a document, the Mefarshim explained, a document that already has been paid back, and it's really garbage now, and you're going to throw it in the garbage. So, Mikan Amru, if in that situation you want to use that, Hamocher Shtarosov Lebasam, if you want to sell your physical document that no longer is needed as a bottle cap for a basam to a person who deals with besamim, to a person who deals with spices, and he's going to go and use this to go and seal up the bottle of his spices, or to use it to be a container for the spices. So then, yes, yesh lehem onah. In that situation, there is a din of onah. If he's saying, oh, I think this piece of paper is worth X, and it's really worth Y, which is a din of onah, so then the din of onah would apply. Of course, says, isn't that obvious? Pshita. Why would you think that? Then you're now selling the piece of paper. You're not selling the content. So this is gufo mach or gufo kani. So of course it should be included in the din of onah. Someone says, no, there's a chiddush over here. Lafuki mi Rav Kahana. This comes to exclude. Yes, they will learn that Rav Kahana held the Amar ein onah liprutos. He said that you needed to have a certain amount of silver that was being involved in the deal in order for there to be a din of onah. And Rav Kahana said you needed at least an isar, which was 8 prutos. But if you had, let's say, only 6 prutos, so the onah would be 1 pruta, that would not be enough to Rav Kahana. And therefore, this din that we just said, that the Chacham hold, Hamochesh, the Rosh of Lebasam, Yesh Lamonah, there is a Chiddush over here, and the Chiddush is that it is not like the opinion of Rav Kahana, who said, Ein onah leprutos, but this opinion here, that Hamochesh, the Rosh of Lebasam, Yesh Lamonah, is Kamash Lon, to come to teach us, Yesh onah leprutos, that yes, even if it's less than an Isar, there is a din of onah by prutos. Okay, finally, Hekdeshos, why does the din of Hekdeshos not have a din of onah? So Amakot, this is based upon the pasuk. It says, when it says that you sell it to Ochiv, to your brother, only if there's a din of one person selling it to another person, one hedjo to another person, is a din of Ochiv applicable, and that's when the din of onah apply. Ochiv below Hekdesh, and that's to come to exclude Hekdesh. Okay, so this is the reason why the four scenarios in our Mishnah, Avad, Mishtaros, Karkos, and Hekdeshos, do not have a din of onah. But as I said a moment ago, when we excluded karka, is because it can't be sold miyad amisecha. So that literally means from hand to hand. The Gemara now questions this. Maskevlo Rabba Bar Mamo. Rabba Bar Mamo says, really? Every time he says the word yad, it literally means yad? Kolecha d'chsev yodo. Yodo mamisho? It really means it has to be something that can be transferred over hand to hand? I'll show you that's not true. How do you explain the following pasuk? El meyato, now that it says d'chsev, when Sichon took over the land of Moab from Moab, Sichon was the king of Aram, Sichon Melech HaEmori, and he took over the land from Moab, and that's why Klai Yisrael was able to get it back. The famous Rashi, it says, we weren't able to take it back from Moab, but Sichon took it for us from Moab, and now we can take the land back from Sichon. So there it says, in the Pasuk, Dechsev, Vayikach es kol artso miyodo. Sichon took all of this land in his hand, miyodo, from the hand of Melech Moav, and he took it into his hand. So are you telling me, Hokanami, to call Arab Yodei Havi Nokadla? Yes, Sichon was a giant, but he didn't really pick up all of the land of Moab and put it in his hand. So obviously, it's to be taken not literally, but figuratively. Elamir Rishuso. It means he took it from the Rishus of Moab, and he now brought it into the Rishus of the Amori. So too, in our Pasuk, Hokanami, Mirishuso. Why couldn't Onoa be included in the Karka? I'm not literally putting it in my hand. I'm figuratively taking it from your possession into my possession. So therefore, Yodo should include Karka. Someone says, really? Are you telling me the whole Hechadich of Yodo, Lad Yodo Mamashu? Are you trying to say that it doesn't literally mean in your hand? But we'll see, bring down two drushes right now that clearly show that Yodo means in your hand, and we need a drusha to tell us that it's also capable if it's not in your hand. What are the two cases? Votani, the first one is, the Pasuk tells us, Imi Motsei Simasebi Yodo Hagneva. If you find the Gneva in his hand, literally, so then the dinim of Ganav apply, the dinim of Kefil apply, Dalav Hey apply. Now, Ein Li El Yodo, the Pasuk says, Imi Matzeis, he must say, Bi Yodo, has to be in his hand. How do we know that these dinim of Kefil also apply if the stolen item was in his possession, but not literally in his hand? How do we know if it was in his gago, if it was in his rooftop, or his chatzer, or his yard, or kapifo, front yard versus the backyard, the difference between chatzer and karpaf? So, Minayin, how do we know that this din applies? Then, Imi Matzeis, he must be Yodo Hagneva, that there's a din of Kefil, even if it's not in your hand, it says in your hand. So that's why the Pasuk says, this double lashon implies mikol makom, whether it's in your hand or even in your gago, chatzero, or karpifo. So here you see clearly the Gemara says, time with the chosar rechbon, imi matzei simosei. It's only that we can darshan out gago, chatzero, and karpifo if it says himotzei simotzei, to teach us this drasha. Otherwise, holav hachi, if it didn't say himotzei simotzei v'yodo, if it just said im biyodo, so then, havamin, I would have said, kol hecho dekos av yodo, it means yodo mamashu. And therefore, only if the gneva is physically in his hand, does the din of kefil apply. Therefore, you clearly see that the default position is, yodo means literally yodo mamish. So Rabba Bar Mamo is wrong in saying that it means, no, not necessarily yodo mamish. We'll have to explain, how does he darshan, and then the positive. By Yikach is called Artso Miyodo. How does he explain how Sichon says Biyodo there? If you're telling me that Yodo literally means in hand, that can't be in your hand. So we'll have to explain that in a second. But first, we bring another raya. Vesutanya, first we learn another braisa that says, when a man gives a get, Rechman Lassan, to his wife, he has to place it in her hand in order for her to accept the get and for her to become divorced. That teaches me Biyodo. And Leela Yodo, Mamish. Gago, chatzero, karpifo, minayin. How do we know that likewise if he puts the get into her possession, into her rooftop, into her front yard, into her backyard? So how do we know that that applies as well? Talmud Lomar, vinosan. It added the extra word, vinosan. It could have just said the get was biyoda. It says vinosan. He shall place it there. That is like himosei. That's extra. And it teaches us vinosan mikol makom. So therefore, the Gemara says, Taimod, the Kosar Rechmona Vinosan. It's only because the Torah wrote Vinosan Biyodah. If it just said Biyodah, I would have said, Holav Hochi Havamina, Kol Hecho, the Kosar Yodah, Yodah Mamish. It means literally hand. That's why you need a pasuk to tell me that it can include Gago, Chatzero, Vikarpifo. So therefore, what do you see? Elo. Call Yodo, Yodo Mamashu, like we originally darshan. That is correct. I, Rabba Bar Mamul, he brought down from Sichon, Vayikach, es kol atzom Yodo. How do you explain that? So therefore, Vishaili Hasim, in that case, the Lekalame Merhochi, it's physically impossible for him to have picked up the land of Moav. So therefore, in that situation, when you cannot explain it literally, then you're right, then we explain it figuratively, Elabir Shuso. It means figuratively and not literally. But when it can be explained literally, it does mean literally. And here, the sale can be literally for the items of metalkali, so therefore we do explain it literally, and therefore, by definition, it comes with lud karka. Very good. Natigmor says, Boy Rav Zeri says, Sechirus yesh lo ono, no, ain't lo ono. When you rent something, do the dinim of ono apply to a rental or not? Do we say, Mimkar Amar Rahman, it has to be a sale, and a rental is not a sale, and therefore, it's excluded from the dinim of ono. It's only a mechira, avalo schirus. Or do we say no? On the other hand, Odilmor, maybe not. Lo shna. After all, a schiris is like a sale for a day, a sale for a week, a sale for a month, however long the rental period is. So maybe it is comparable to a sale and a real full sale, and therefore the dinim of onah do in fact apply. So that's the Gemara's question. So I'm going to Abaye answers the Gemara's question. He answers Rav Zeira's question, and he says, Miksiv mimkar li olam. Does it say that it has to be a permanent sale? No, the pasuk just says mimkar. Mimkar stomach siv, and therefore v'hainami biyomei mechiri, and therefore a rental for a day or for a week or for a month is considered a sale for a day, a week, or a month, and therefore the dinim of schira also are included in the dinim of ona. That was the first question. We have another question. Boy, Rava. Rava says, what about, and we'll have a series of questions right now, chitin uziron bikarka. If you go and sell somebody grains of wheat that you had planted in the ground but had not yet taken root, that's how Rashi understands this. So chitin, you sold these grains of wheat, but they had been planted in the ground, uziron bikarka, hadn't yet taken root, and now you sell them. So how do we view the sale of chitin? Is it considered metaltali, or is it considered karka, mahu? Do we say, yesh lem onor, because it's still considered metaltali? Or do we say, no, it's considered karka now, oh, ain lem onor, therefore it doesn't have onor. What's the understanding over here? Do we say that when you're selling the wheat that's in the ground and it hasn't yet taken root, so the ground is functioning like a sack, it's functioning like a container, kiman, and it's no different than if you would put the chitin, the shajon, bikanda, Damyun. It's as if you put it into some sort of a cart, in some sort of a jug, and you're selling him the wheat that's in this jug. And therefore, this is metaltli, v'yeshlan or not. Or do we say, no, maybe, or do more, but linu al-gavara. No, you planted this in the ground, and therefore, even though it hasn't taken root yet, it's considered part of the karka, and therefore, it's not metaltli anymore, and therefore, there is no din of onah. That's the question that Rava asked, and Rava says, what exactly are the circumstances that Rava is talking about? Hechi dami. If you're telling me Ilemo, the Omar Ihu, that Reuven said to Shimon, Reuven selling this wheat to Shimon, and he says, Ilemo the Omar Ihu, Shidoi Bo Shisa. So the Reuven, the seller, said to Shimon, the buyer, I put in 6 seeds into the ground over here, and that's what I'm selling you. Is that the case? The oh sade, and then witnesses come along, the Amri, and they say, the lo shaw the bo elachamisha, he only put 5 grains of wheat into the ground. So is that your case over here? Is there onah or not? Let's say this, we view this as the objective value was 6 and he only sold the 5, so there's onah of 1. Is that the case that we're talking about? Is there onah or is there not onah? That can't be. Because Rava himself was the one that said, Rava's asking this question, Father Rava, Rava himself was the one that said, Kol da v'shebe mida, v'shebe mishko, v'shebe minyan, afilu pachos v'chdei onah choser. Rava says that when you're selling something that's an exact item, for example, you're selling something that is sold by the mida, how the dimensions, its measure, or the mishko, its weight, or the minyan, I'm selling you a dozen, I'm selling you 6 of these. When you sell like that, so then there is no din of onah. Even if it's less than kidei onah, so then the deal goes back because he sold a specific amount. So if this was a case, as you just said, he said, I'm selling you 6, and in fact, there are only 5, so then this doesn't follow the rules of onah. Afilu pachos mikdei onah chozer. So then that can't be the question. That can't be the case. So what is the case? Ella, the case was, the Amar Iu, Reuven said to Shimon, Shidoi bo kidi boilo. I placed into this ground enough seed to bow and plant this field. When in fact, the Igloi Milsa, then ultimately was revealed, it turned out, the lo shado bo kidi boilo. He didn't put in as much as he should have into the field. He put in less than that into the field. So that's the question that Rava said. Yesh lemo no? Do we say that this is like the ground is as if it was a cod, or ein lehem ona, the ground is like the ground, and it's karka, and there is no na. Kiman dishadi bikad damyan. Do we view this, as I just said, as if he put the wheat into a container, a jug, the ground is just functioning as a jug over here, and therefore it's metaltali v'yesh lehem ona? Or do we say, no, once he placed it into the ground, oduma, once it's in the ground, but linu agavari, it's considered subordinate to the ground, and therefore it's like selling karka, and there is no din of ona. Now we finally understand Rava's question, and the Gemara says we don't give an answer to it right now, we'll end up with a teiku. But we ask another question. Mustama Rava is asking another question. Nishboyin aleihem, o ein nishboyin aleihem. Is there a shvua? Rashi says in Dibro Maschu nishboyin aleihem, im hoda b'miksas. For example, it was a moda b'miksas shvua that he would be obligated for if this was in fact metaltli. Kigon, tanu pasak to imilis ravav. Shimon tells Reuven, hey, you said you'd put in 6 wheat over here, and you only put in 5. And Reuven says, no, I put in 5.5. I didn't put in 6, I agree, but I put in 5.5, not 5. So this is a mode of mixas. He's admitting that he put in less than 6, but he says he's putting in more than 5. So he's mode to at least half of the claim of Shimon that I didn't put in six, but he says the other half I did put in. It's not that I put in five, I put in five and a half. So this would be normally a shvua of moda b'miktsas. So do you or do you not? Rav is asking a question. In this situation, again, is this metautli, and therefore there would be a shvua of moda b'miktsas, or it's not metautli, and it's not a shvua of moda b'miktsas, because no din of moda b'miktsas by karka. So do we say that this scenario of putting the wheat into the ground is kiman deshajim b'kada damyon? It's as if you put it into a jug, a container of some sort, and therefore it's still metautli, and therefore it's a shvua moda b'miktsas, a metautli, v'nishbayna lehem, and you have to make the shvua. Or do we say, no, odilma, it's karka, and batlinu agav karka. But linu agav ara, it is considered nullified or subordinate in the karka, and therefore there's no shvua moda b'miktsas in regards to karka. V'nishbayna lehem. That's the next question that we have. Another question that we have, the din of the new wheat being matir, the chodosh being matir, to be now become yashon by the bringing of the korban omer, be'ezus Hashem this year we'll do it on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. We'll all be in Eretz Yisrael, be'ezus Hashem, Mashiach Tzidkenu will have come, and we'll all be happy and be mesameach in Eretz Yisrael, safe, secure, safe Eretz Yisrael. So the omer will go and be matir all of the new wheat. So does the omer pater this wheat that's in the ground and hasn't yet taken root? So normally the omer does not. So we'll have to explain what the scenario is talking about in a second. So the question that we're asking over here is, does omer matirin or ain omer matirin this wheat that's planted into the ground? So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hechidami. Eid the ashush, if it already took root. So then, Tanina, we learned this. This is the Beferish Mishnah. It says, if it's taking root, so then the bringing of the carbon omer, the first day, Chol HaMoed Pesach, is matir all the wheat, all the grain that is already mishurash, it's already rooted in the ground. And either lo ashrush, and if it isn't in the ground rooted, so then the new carbon omer is not matirin. And you have to wait till next year's carbon omer to say that this is no longer chadish, this is yashon. Tanina, we learned all of this. That's not, because we learned this in a Mishnah in Menachos, it says b'feirish. Im ishu ishu, kodim li omer, omer matirin. V'im lav, asurin, actually have a omer abat. It says b'feirish in the Mishnah, what I just said over here in the Gemara. The Mishnah says that if the new seeds had taken root before the carbon omer is brought, so then the carbon omer is mat to them. They're no longer called chodosh. This will be yashan. But if it hasn't yet taken root, so then this year's carbon omer cannot be matrit. You have to wait till next year's carbon omer, and until next year, it's chodosh. So what could be the question over here? Omer matirin, or ain't omer matirin? Asked and answered in the Mishnah Menachos. So it says, you're right, that's not the case. Lo tzricha, the case over here is the chatzdinu v'zarinu kodum omer. In fact, he planted it well before the omer. And in fact, it took place. And in fact, it was now harvested. For asalei omer, so this would now be called yashan when the omer comes. For asalei omer, v'cholif ilavayu. So the omer passed it, but now it had been placed into the ground again. In other words, this grain that is no longer chadash, it would be now called yashan, if it was by itself, outside of the ground, had been put plaque in, back into the ground to be planted. So it was in the ground, replanted. It had already grown and been harvested. It was in the ground and been replanted when the omer came. So how do we view this? Below Ashrish Kodim Omer, and it hadn't yet retaken root in the ground when the omer came. And we turn to Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. This is the question. He changes his mind, and now he wants to eat this grain. So if it was placed in a kad, if it was kiman dishajon bikad domi, if we say that it's in the ground, but it hasn't yet taken root, so it's no different than it was in a jug. So then this is yashon. This has already been matted by the omer, visharinu omer, and the omer pottered it, and it can be eaten. But no, maybe not. Odioma, maybe we say, but linu agavara, by just placing it in the ground, even though it hasn't taken root, it's essentially saying, I'm no longer considering this as edible food. It is now seed in the ground. And therefore, if it's seed in the ground, the omer is not patur unless it was mishurash, unless it had taken root. So for this question and the previous question, we end off here with a teku. We don't come to an answer. And tishbi yitaretz kushus yabayos. Okay. Rav continues and says the following. Amar Rav Amar Rav Chassa. Rav said in the name of Rav Chassa that Rav Ami asked the following shaila. Boy Rav Ami. Ono en lehem. We just said in our Mishnah that Avadim, Shtaros, Karkos, and Ekdeshos don't have Onah. So what does it mean? Onah ain't lehem, but as I pointed out, does it mean Bitu Mekach Yesh lehem? Oh, ain't lehem. Okay, there is no din of Onah, but does that mean that we just don't follow the rules of Onah, but the deal is null and void? Or do we say, no, there is no Onah, and the deal is not null and void. The deal goes through. So what does it mean when we said, Onoa ein lehem? What does that mean in terms of does the deal go through or does the deal not go through? That's Rav Ami's question. Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says to Rav Ami, Hoder Amar Rav Chasda, subsequently Rav Chasda said that Pashit Rav Ami himself answered the question. And he said, Onoa ein lehem. Yes, the din in the Mishnah says that there is no Onoa by these four categories. However, Bitul Mekach Yeshlem. Rav Ami himself said that while there is no onah, there is a din of bitul mekach. The deal is null and void. So that's the ultimate answer that Rav Ami gave according to Rav Nachman. Now, the Gemara continues and tells us a statement that Rav Yonah and Rav Yirmiyah said in the name of Rav Yochanan. So the first statement is Rav Yonah Amar Ahekdeshos. Rav Yonah said that when we're dealing with Hekdeshos, that's when this din applies. Rav Yirmiyah Amar Arkarkos. And Rav Yirmiyah says, when we're dealing with karka, that's when this din applies. What din is this talking about? The Tarvayu Mishmei de Rav Yochanan Amru. And both of them said their din. Rav Yonah said it about Hekdeshos, and Rav Yirmiyah said it about Karkos, about the following statement that Rav Yochanan made. Rav Yochanan said, Oh no, ain't lehem. Right? The Tarvayu Mishmei de Rav Yochanan Amru. They both said, Rav Yonah and Rav Yirmiyah said that Rav Yochanan had said, Oh no, ain't lehem. Yes, there is no din of Onoa. The Mishnah said there's no din of Onoa. But Bitul Mekach Yesh Lehem. Rav Yonah said that Rav Yochanan had said that this was in regards to Hekdeshos, that there is Bitul Mekach. And Rav Yonah had said that only in regards to Hekdeshos, and Rav Yirmiyah had said it in regards to Karka. And now the question is, Man Diyamar Hekdeshos, Rav Yonah, who said it only about Hekdeshos, Kol Shekein HaKarkos. If you're saying it about Hekdesh, so then you're certainly saying it about Karka. Why is that? Rashi brings down in Dibur Masul Kol Shekein, the Arkarkos Nami Omar. If you're saying it about Hekdesh, then you're certainly saying it about Karka, the Kivon, the Ashminon, the Bitul Mekach, Lav Bechlal Onohu. Once you're telling me that in regards to Karka, there is no Onoh, so Mehecho Imoit, Idek Deshos, Koshchokesh Le Mekach Tos. It's because by the Hekdeshos, it was a Mekach Tos. And Avogad the Lekot Tos Klap Mishmai. And this is true even though in regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the owner of Hekdesh Kaviyochel, so therefore, there is no din of toes. So therefore, nevertheless, even though there we say that there is a bitul mekach, so certainly, in regards to a person, when you're selling karka, when there is the potential, the ikalimem tor, it is a real mekach toes. And therefore, so certainly, so if by Hekdeshos, where there is no potential for a mekach tos by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, the deal is null and void, and bitul mekach yeshlen. So certainly by karka, that would be the same. So when Rav Yonah said by hektish, he was saying not only hektish, even though he only said it by hektish, but obviously it's also by karka. However, Rav Yirmiyah, who said it applies to karka, maybe it's only karka. Man diyomar akakar, so Rav Yochanan is then that bitul mekach is by karka, it's only by karka. Avol hekdeshos lo. He would not say that the din applies to hekdeshos, and this is in accord with what Shmuel said. What does Shmuel say? Dom Shmuel hekdesh shava mona shechilu al shava pruta mechulav. Shmuel's famous din is that if hekdesh sells something for well below its value, it's worth a mona. It's worth a lot of money, and it was actually deconsecrated for only a pruta. So then the bottom line is it's mechulav because there is no concept of mekach tos by hekdesh. So therefore, in regards to karka, where there could be mekach tos, so yeah, then bitul mekach. But in regards to hekdesh, which by definition doesn't have a mekach tos, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make mistakes. So therefore, there is no concept of mekach tos. So therefore, even though it was worth the money, a lot of money, and you were mechalal it, you were deconsecrated for only a pruta, it is deconsecrated. So therefore, Rav Yirmiyah's statement is Rav Yochanan only said bitul mekach only on karka, but not on hektish. Whereas Rav Yonah said it applies to hektish, and therefore it certainly applies to karka as well. Well, questions Rav Yonah and says, wait a second, it's not hasum. We learned in a Mishnah in Temura. It says in the Mishnah in Temura, im haya kodesh ba'al mum. If the animal that you had been mekadesh gets a mum, and you deconsecrate it on another animal, so that's allowed. That's not a din of Temura. You're allowed to deconsecrate it if it has a mum. So that's not Temura. That's called deconsecration. So then, yotza l'chulin. So then, the first animal that has the mum now is considered chulin. And the second animal that you consecrated against this baal mum animal becomes kodesh. V'tzarech laso slo domim. But the Mishnah says, if the second animal is worth less than the first animal, so then you have to make it up. So let's say the first animal, animal A, is worth $100 and it gets a mum. Okay, you deconsecrate it with using animal B to deconsecrate it. So animal A now has gone out of Hekdesh and is now a regular animal that used to be Kachim, but now has a mum, and it's Kachim Sheniftu. That's allowed. Animal B now has the Kedusha, but animal B is only worth 50. So according to this Mishnah, the person who deconsecrated animal A with animal B, so he had to be consecrating animal B, but now he has to add $50. Now, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, Yotzeh l'chulin dvar Torah. The din is that animal A has become chulin min ha-Torah. And that which we said in the Mishnah, v'tzorach l'asos lo damim, so that is midivrehem. That is a din derabbanan. However, Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish Amar, no, atzorach l'asos lo damim min ha-Torah. He says, no, the animal is only deconsecrated when you fully redeem it. So when you redeemed it with an animal that was worth half its amount, you have to add on the other half. So in my case, animal A only becomes deconsecrated when you gave the animal B worth 50 plus gave the other 50. That's what Reish Lakish says in Midoraisa, and Rav Yochanan says it's only Midorabanan. Now, what are we talking about? Ma'aseinan. Here's the question now coming on Rav Yochanan. If you're telling me that the difference between animal A and animal B was not 100 versus 50, it was only the actual shear of onah, it was a 1/6 difference. So then, beha lema Reish Lakish, tzorich la'asos lo damim devar Torah. Would Reish Lakish say in that situation that you have to make it up? We learned in our Mishnah, but none. El dvorim she'en lehem onah, hakokos ve'avodim ve'ashtoros ve'akdeshos. So clearly our Mishnah said that there is no onah over here. So how could Reish Lakish say, midaraisa, you have to make it up? We just proved from Psukim that there is no din of onah. So obviously it can't be talking about the shear of onah, exactly 1/6. So what was the case that he said, elo bitul mekach, that the deal must be a situation where the mekach is null and void. And that would be that it was worth more than a 1/6 of an overcharge. In other words, my case, let's say, of 100 versus 50. And therefore, baha, lema, Rav Yochanan, tzorich la'asos lo damim, midivrehem, would Rav Yochanan have said in that situation that midirabbanan, you have to make up the difference? That's not true. Vam Rav Yonah said, ahekdeshos. Rav Yonah had said that hekdesh, the deal is null and void. Not that you have to make it up. Rav Yirmiya Amar Akakos. Rav Yirmiya said it only goes on Karka and not on Hekdesh. Rav Yonah says it goes on Hekdesh. The Tavayim Mishmei Rav Yochanan Amar. And they're both saying the name of Rav Yochanan. Yes, Onoa Ein Lehem, Bitul Mekach Yesh Lehem. So according to Rav Yonah, this would be a case of Bitul Mekach. So why would you go and say, V'tzorach La'asos Lo Damim? It doesn't make any sense. So he says, no, it does make sense. L'yolom B'Bitul Mekach. We are talking about a case where it's more than Onoa. And therefore, it was Bitul Mekach. However, we have to flip around the two opinions. Instead of saying Rav Yochanan is the one that says Tzorich Lasus L'Domim Midivrayim, and Reish Lakish says it's Min HaTorah, flip it around. The Epoch, the Shitas are opposite. They're flipped around. It was the Epoch to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, or the Reish Lakish to Rav Yochanan. Flip around. And Reish Lakish is the one that says Midivrayim, and Rav Yochanan is the one that says Midaraisa. Oh, now that you say the Rav Yochanan says that midaraisa, you have to go v'tzorach la'asos lo damim, is because it hasn't been consecrated, because there is no din of onah, and din is mekach batel according to Rav Yochanan. Now everything works out very well. If he's the one that says, if Rav Yochanan is the opinion that says tzorach la'asos lo damim min ha-Torah, oh, that's because batel mekach, and therefore it hasn't been consecrated, and therefore, until you give him the hektish, the exact value of the animal, your animal 50 plus another $50 to make up for the Baal Mum $100 animal, so then the deal is null and void. Oh, Rav Yochanan, Lishitaso, as we now flipped it around, Tzorich Lasos L'Domim in HaTorah, and therefore, there's no question on Rav Yonah. We're still wants to investigate this first, and says, but my komifliu, what exactly are Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan arguing about that was saying that now Reish Lakish is the one that says, Dvar Torah, the deal is deconsecrated, but you have to make it up midrabbanan, whereas Rav Yochanan says, no, the deal is batel mekach, because you didn't pay the full amount. Now, they're arguing b'dishmul, on what Shmuel had brought down before. The Amar Shmuel said, Hekdesh shavim ona shechilu shavim pruta mechula. That if you have something that was worth more by Hekdesh, and you deconsecrated this thing that was worth the money for only a pruta, it's mechula. That's what Shmuel had said. Now, mar islay l'shmul, the way we flipped it around, it's Reish Lakish who says that it's midirabanon, you have to make up the extra money. So he holds, because it's deconsecrated on the rice level, 50 for 100, even a pruta for a mana. So the 50 animal B is deconsecrating the 100 animal A. Okay, midirabanon, you got to go make up the difference. So this opinion of Reish Lakish that we flipped it around is in accord with Shmuel. However, Rav Yochanan is not in accord with Shmuel. He disagrees with Shmuel. He says you can't be mechalal a shava mana on a shava pruta. Umar, less lady Shmuel. Rav Yochanan says no. Midaraisa, the deal is mekach batel. If you didn't give the right value to the hektish, so then the deal is null and void. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, the kuli alma is lishmul. In fact, both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree with Shmuel's ruling that you can be mechalal a mana on a shava pruta. It in fact is mechulal. Everybody agrees to that. All right, then what are Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan arguing about? Welcome, this is what they're arguing about. Mar Sava Rav Yochanan holds this is only b'diavad shechilalo after the fact. Okay, I agree with Shmuel that it's deconsecrated shechilalo in after the fact. Yes, b'diavad. However, lichatchila, are you allowed to do this lichatchila? No, because the din is mekach batel. Bottom line, after the fact, we agree with Shmuel, but not lichatchila. Whereas Reish Lakish says, Mar Sava, afilu lichatchila, Shmuel's din that you're allowed to be mechal leimana on a shava pruta is even lichatchila. Mechulal, even lechatchila. And that's what Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan are arguing about. Another teretz. Ivayisema, liolom b'chidei ono, v'lo tepach. No, leave things they were originally. The original sheet that we said that it was Rav Yochanan who holds that the deal is gone through, B at 50, deconsecrated A at 100, and no, midi rabbanan, you have to make up the other 50. Leave that the way it was. And it was Reish Lakish who said, midi raisa, the whole deal is null and void. Aye, then how do you explain the question of Rav Yonah? They're arguing about what Rav Chista said. What did Rav Chista say? The Amar, my ein lehem onah. Rav Chista had brought down. What does it mean in the Mishnah when it says ein lehem onah? It means einon bitoras onah. It doesn't have a regular din of onah at 1/6. The dinim don't apply. Even if it's pachos mishir onah, the dinim of onah apply. So Rav Chista is very interesting. He's being machmir over here. He's not saying that there's no din of onah. He's saying that the regular rules of 1/6 don't apply. Even if it's pachos mishir onah, there is a din of onah. And we turn to Nun Zayin Amud Beis, da'afilu pachos michtei onah chozer. And that's what they're arguing about. Reish Lakish agrees with this din of Rav Chista, and therefore, even if it's less than the shear of onah, the deal is null and void until you pay the full amount. So even if it was 99 cow B and you're exchanging it on a cow A for 100, it's less than the shear of onah, the deal is null and void until you make up that extra one. Whereas Rav Yochanan says, no, I don't agree with this din of Rav Chista, and if it's less than the shear of onah, the deal does go through. Okay, we want to make hektish hol, so me the Rabbanan, you got to make hektish hol. But the bottom line is, it's deconsecrated in this situation. So we don't have to flip around the shitas that we originally had attributed to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And in fact, they're arguing about, do you or do you not agree with Rav Chista that it's afilu pachos mikdei onah chozer? Okay. Gemara now questions this and says, wait a second, meisve. Ribis v'onah lehedja. We have a brisa that says that the dinim of ribis apply when it's Reuven and Shimon, and the dinim of onah apply when it's Reuven and Shimon. However, there is no din. The ain ribis v'onah. There is no din of ribis, and there is no din of onah when you're dealing with Reuven and hektish lehektish. Now, this seems to clearly go against what Rav Chista just said. Rav Chista says afilu pachos mikdei onah chozer, and here this brisa b'feirish. Rav Chista is a great amora. He normally doesn't argue with a brisa, and the brisa says there is no concept of onah in regards to hektish. So therefore, it's a kasha Rav Chista. So Rav Chista answers very simply: is this brisa any stronger than the Mishnah? Mi alima mi masnisin. Is this brisa stronger than our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, we had explained when it said that there is no onah, dokimna b'toras onah, it meant that it doesn't have the normal rules of onah. It's actually stricter. So that's how we interpreted the Mishnah. So interpret the brisa the same way. Hochanami, ribis v'din onah lehedjot. Yes, Reuven and Shimon, they can have onah and they can have ribis. But the ain ribis v'din onah lehektish, we don't follow the normal rules of ribis onah in regards to hektish. In fact, we're stricter in regards to hektish. Da'afilu pachos v'chdei onah is chozer. So therefore, there's no kashan or chista. Or it says, oh, really? Is that the way you want to interpret the brisa? That can't be, because according to what you're saying, ihachi hainu diktani seifa, how do you explain the seifa where it says, zechomer behedjot mi behektish? This is a chumrah by hedjot versus hektish. In other words, by hedjot, there is a din of onah, which is stricter than the din by hektish, which goes exactly opposite of what you, Rav Chista, just said. So Gemara says, no, that seifa of the brisa is only talking about ribis. A ribis, but it's not talking about onah. Only by ribis is the din chomer behedjot mi behektish. But by onah, it's actually more chomer by hektish than by hedjot. So the Gemara says, and say so. So listen, nami ze chomer behektish mi behedjot auna. So then you should have said that there is a chomer by hektish over a hedjot, and that's auna. If you're telling me that there's a chomer by hedjot over hektish in regards to ribis, so then that there's a chomer the other way by hektish over hedjot in regards to auna. Someone says, "Hachi hashta? Really? Should we say that?" Bishlama ze chomer behedjot mi behektish v'sulal. It's understandable why the Mishnah will tell us that in this and only this situation is there a chumrah by hedjot over hektish. There is no other such example, and that's why it's kedai for the Mishnah to go and mention this. But by hektish, there are many, many chumras. El hektish, zeh chumrah b'sulo. What? There's only one chumrah by hektish? Then hektish has a din of onah that's stricter than the din of onah by a regular person, and that's the only chumrah b'sulo? No, in fact, there are many others, and that's why it only tells us the din, the unusual din, where hedjot is stricter than hektish, that's by the din of ribis, therefore it had to tell us that. But the chumrah, that yes, hektish is stricter than hedjot by onah, there are many other things, and it didn't have to tell us that. More continues and discusses what exactly is the case of ribis. Ribis, the hektish, hechidami. That which we said, that there is no din of ribis by hektish, what exactly are the circumstances? If you're going to tell me, ilei ma, the case is the osve gizbar, the person in charge, the gizbar, the treasurer, went and lent money. He lent meya, $100 to somebody, and he was expected to get back bemeya the esrim. So then, guess what? The minute he gave the $100 from the treasury to that person, he was moel. You're not allowed to do that. The treasury is not in the status of being a lender. So, follow Moal HaGizbor, this treasurer, as soon as he gave the money from the treasury to the person, he did Me'ilah. And now, guess what? That money is his money. He now lent it to somebody else, and he can't lend it with ribis. V'kivin Shemoal HaGizbor, as soon as the Gizbor gave the money, he did Me'ilah. It's now his money. Yotzimos L'cholin, that money now is his money. V'havu L'hedjot. And this is now one hedjot. The Gizbar, his private money, lending to another Yid, private money, there is no ribis allowed. So that can't be what the case is talking about. Ella what? Amar Ravashai, Ravashai says, hold my skin, this is the case of ribis. And this will be the first teretz, we'll have another teretz in a moment. Ravashai is the first teretz, and he says, hold my skin, you know what we're talking about? You're going Shekiba Lov Lusapik Slasos Mi Arba, the Amdume Shalosh. What happened was that he made a deal. Now, a hedjot is not allowed to make such a deal like this, but the gizbar is allowed to. And they set up the prices. Rashi explains in Dibra Masko, Hochamay Askinon, and he says, Hai diktani ain ribis lehektish is not talking about la balval koi like we just proved. It can't be talking about a regular loan because then it would have been meila. Ella, we're dealing here with the hedjot, Shekibel Mos Ben Alishka. The gizbar gave to Ruvain money. And they arranged with him, the Gizbar arranged with Ruvain, Lesapek Slosos Kol Hashana Lemenachos Shel Tzibor. They arranged that Ruvain would go and supply the flour for all the carbon menachos that the Tzibor needs for that year. They paid him up front, and he said the price would be Arba Son Bisela. For every seller that they gave him, he would go give them 4 sons worth of flour, of the menachos flour. Then subsequently, the prices went up. The hukru, the omdu meshalosh soin vesela. Instead of the price now being 4 son, a larger amount per sela, it was now a smaller amount. You can only get 3 saw for a sela. Now, the ilu behedyot, in regards to doing this with a regular person, one Ruvain doing this to Shimon, also livsok al peros achi etzesha. You're not allowed to do this if the prices haven't been established and fixed. This would be ribis. You're paying now, and you're getting more than that later on. That's ribis. And therefore, by a hedjot, that would not be allowed. But here, the kan, by the gizbar, afilu lo yotzar shar, adayin li arbo poskin. Here, he has to pay for. So therefore, it's not a ribis concern at all. So the Brisa continues, Kidatanya, Hoshaya tells us, Hamakabal of Lusapik Slosus Viarba. If this person, Ruvain, accepted to go and pay for each seller that he gets from the Hektish, 4 saw of the flour, from the Bisholish, and then the prices went up and he would only normally have to pay 3, nevertheless, Lusapik Miarba. He has to pay the 4 still. It was the other way around. Mishalosh, they originally arranged the price of 3, and then the prices went down. So he can't just say, I'll give you 3. No, he has to now give them 4. Masapik me'arba. So you clearly see that this is not a ribis problem, and shiat hektish alo yona. The reason why this is done is because hektish always has the upper hand, and it's not a ribis problem for a private individual to have done this, as we pointed out, to arrange to pay at the price when it's 4 per asah, and then to only get 3 per asah, so you're basically taking ribbis in that situation, and you're not allowed to go and do that. So therefore, by the hekdish, you're allowed to. Here's the example of ribbis behekdish, hechidami. That's teretz number one, Rav Hoshaya. Rav Papa says, no, it could be a halva. Rav Papa and I, we're dealing here with a halva. I originally said it's me'ila. So here we're dealing with not money, but hocha be'avnei binyan hamisuros lagiz baraskinan. We're dealing here with stones that Hekdish owned, but they didn't really own them yet because Kiddushmuel, they were concerned with what Shmuel brought down. What did Shmuel say? Damar Shmuel, bonim b'chol v'yachek hachmaktishin. Shmuel said, if Hekdish goes buys building materials, let's say they're making an extension, they're building a wall, they're doing something. So they're going to buy these materials, they belong to Hekdish, and then one of the workers sits on them, one of the workers uses them for some personal benefit. He'll be over me'ila. So what Hekdish did is they bought all of these stones, Rashi tells us, b'hakofa. They bought them on credit. And therefore, they're not yet really Hekdish. Now, the Gizbar has these stones, but they're not Hekdish stones, but they belong to the Gizbar. Now, if the Gizbar lends these out, so they lend out these stones, they're worth 100, and they get back 120, that's the ribbis, the Hekdish, that is allowed. And therefore, that's Rav Papa's understanding, different than Rav Hoshaya, is neither one is necessarily arguing with the other one. They're two different examples of where we have ribbis by Hekdish, and it not be a problem. Let's go one more two dots further, and this way, Baruch Hashem, we've caught up another full daf for Pesach. Now, we quote the Mishnah, Ein b'hem tashlumei kefel v'chulei. So the Mishnah said that there is no din of tashlumei kefel by these four categories, avodim, shtaros, karkos, and ekdeshos. So Gemara says, how do we know that? We know immediately. So the Tanur Rabban, we have the following brisa, and we know that we dash in through the klal, uprat, uklal mechanism in many ways, and here will be such an example. We start off with the klal. Al kol dvar pesha, that's a klal, that you have to go pay kefel for any dvar pesha. If you stole, you have to go and pay kefel. That's a general rule. But then it specifies the following pratim, al-shor, al-chamor, al-seh, al-samor, that's a prat. Now we learned elsewhere why it has to mention each of these things. For now, we're not going to go into that, but the common denominator is all of these are metaltali. Shor, chamor, seh, and samor are all metaltali. So the prat is that it has to be metaltali. And then it gives another klal, al-kol avidah, sher yomar. So that's chazar v'klal. So bottom line is, we have a klal uprat uklal methodology over here, and the rule is, when you have this methodology, it's teaching us that anything that's like the prat, so the prat is a common denominator, anything that has the same common denominator as the prat is included in this din. So therefore, mahaprat, mefurush, dova, metaltel, vigufa, mamon, the characteristic about these pratim, shor, chamor, seh, and samor, is that they all are metaltelim, and they all are intrinsically worth money. So therefore, anything that has a din of kefel would have to have these parameters. Therefore, af kol davar metalto v'gufo mamon would be included in din of kefel. As opposed to, yotza karkos, karka, she'en metaltum, is not metaltum, so that's not included in the din of kefel. Yotzu avodim, shehukshu lekarkos. And avodim, they're connected to karkos, as we've already explained from the pasuk is nachaltem, and therefore, the din by Eved is the same as a din by Karka. So they're excluded from the din of Kefil as well, even though they are metaltali in some circumstance or in some way. Yatsu shtaros, shtaros aren't included because Alpha Bisha metaltum, they are metaltum, but ain't gufa and mamam. They are not intrinsically worth anything. It's what the contract states. The content of the contract is what's worth something, but the piece of paper is just worth that piece of paper. So therefore, that's not included in the din of Kefil. And Hekdeshos, that's based upon the pasuk where it says that only your friend is involved in the din of kefel. Amakra re'ehu, your friend, re'ehu v'lo hektish, and hektish isn't included. And similarly, v'lo tashlumi dalav v'hei v'chulei, there is no din of dalav v'hei. Again, we pointed out Rashi earlier, it said this only is applicable by hektish because by the avodim, shtaros, and karkos, there is no din of dalav v'hei. But why isn't there a din if you stole an animal from hektish that you shouldn't have to pay dalav v'hei? Shemor says, because there's no din of kefel. My time, therefore, there's no din of dalav v'hei because tashlumi dalav v'hei amar chmona. The Torah tells us it has to be dalav v'hei. And if you take out the kefel, then all you're going to have left is v'lo tashlumi shlosh of yarba because the kefel is one. If the kefel is not included, then you're paying not dalav v'hei, paying shlosh of yarba. Three would be for a sheep and four would be for a cow. But the Torah tells us it's four for a sheep and five for a cow. And therefore, once you've removed the kefel, you've also removed the din of dalit v'hei. This is a good break point. With this, we'll conclude today's shir.